Hello, all the friends of Cosmic Agency, terrestrial and non-terrestrial. I'm Gosia from Cosmic Agency. In today's video, because in 3 days we are going to give the presentation, me and Robert, at the Ufology World Congress in Barcelona. So because of that, and because there may be some new people incorporating themselves into the channel and coming and discovering the information, and they might be asking, why do we believe that this contact is real? Why is there no tangible proof? Is there any proof? And I know that even you, the people who have been following this channel, they are asking this question as well. These two questions. Why is there no proof? And how can we know for sure this is real? These are logical questions, and I respect those questions. So for that reason, I'm here today to give you the answers. I'm going to try to give you the answers in a concise way. I will go point by point. I published this yesterday with Robert in the Spanish channel, and today it's your turn. So first of all, why is there no tangible proof of this contact? Point number one. As you know, because I already made a video about this, there is a spatial law called Prime Directive, which is real, which exists, and it is one of the Federation's main cosmic regulations they go by and they have to obey. And this law, among other things, clearly states that there cannot be any intervention, and proof being this kind of intervention in this case, there cannot be any type of intervention with a developing race. Any type of new technology or any type of new information cannot be really given, and that's why Svaru even herself is in trouble with Federation, because according to them she's breaking many of these Federation's articles. So Prime Directive, it's simply not permitted at this point. Point number two, and I have it here on my screen because I'm not going to remember all these points. Point number two, and I will read some of this too, because these are specifically Svaru's words. As she says, no extraterrestrial race gives any clear proof, Federation or not. It's true, when you look around, no real proof exists out there of any specific race. So, no ET race gives any clear proof, Federation or not, because they immediately would become rulers of the world, gods. Cults and fanatics would grow, harming and destroying the real mission and objective. This is one of the most, absolutely most important points to transmit. They have committed this error in the past, meaning they have presented themselves to their race, to the humanity, and at the point when we were not really ready to meet with such an advanced race. And what happened? The cults were created. We started to worship them, to see them as gods. That's why we have all these myths and all these stories about those gods coming from space. So they absolutely want to avoid the same mistake and the same situation. They say, we as stellars, they refer to themselves as stellars, they cannot, we as stellars cannot be seen as gods again, as the objective here, listen to this carefully, as the objective here is not to gain power over humanity, it is to lift humanity into a mature, self-reliant state. Very, very, very important. Even though me, you, and some other people may feel like we are ready for this contact and we are not going to perceive them as gods, think about every Joe from the street. Just think about this seriously and consider this point very seriously. It's a very, 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 very important point to understand. We cannot perceive them as gods. This is the time for us to take the reins in our hands and first of all show them that we are worthy of that interstellar status as equal to them. Okay, they can guide us, assist us, help us, but not be perceived as superior to the point of perceiving them as gods or angels. Point number three, they have designed this contact proofless on purpose. First of all, it is very dangerous for the contactee actually to be in the position of such a hard proof. The governments, the black governments, the men in black, they are all monitoring all the UFO activity and UFO contacts. So imagine that if we show you the real hard proof, then basically we're going to have men in black at the door tomorrow. The channels will be closed, and that's going to be the end of this work, and that's going to be against the objective of this mission. So the crazy story, you know, of just there are just these two people there talking on the internet to aliens. Wow, that's, you know, two crazies. This is our protection. This is our shield. This is our disguise and our camouflage. As she says here, not giving proof is camouflage. We are hiding, all of us and them, behind the veil of skepticism, because that veil of skepticism, of reasonable doubt, is our protection. And here a few days ago, Zbaru gave me this example. We are like wild animal hiding among teddy bears, unicorns, and other stuffed animals in a toy store. We have designed this contact to be this way. Point number 4, I think it is. No proof will ever be enough for the humans. Forget about pictures, forget about the videos, especially now in the times of Photoshops and graphic design and just the most amazing special effects and movie productions. Billy Mayer, which was contacted by the same race that we are speaking with, they have provided pictures. The videos were provided. And what happened? Nothing. It led to nowhere. And it was given even at the time when the image manipulation was not that developed yet. So you really think if me coming out with the pictures and videos, do you really think it's going to be taken seriously? As she says here, no proof is ever enough. People will always dismiss the proof for whatever reason. Any type of proof we provided before has been insufficient and in the past and led nowhere. They simply got tired of giving these types of proofs. Regardless, she says, there is already so much evidence around and humans don't do anything about it. Just dismiss it and debunk it, and it just stays there. Next point. This is an interesting point, which was actually given to me by Zvaru a few weeks ago. I have never considered it before, but it definitely makes sense. She says, if we give proof, other Federation members will feel free to do the same as well. But they may not be as wise or prudent as we are, and not as careful, and very negative consequences do or may come out of such direct proof if certain steps are not followed carefully. As she explains here, Tigetans are pioneers. They are pathfinders. So whatever they do is observed very carefully and strictly by other Federation and non-Federation races. And in some cases, they even follow and copy what the Tigetans do. So this Tigetan crew has no space, absolutely no room to make mistakes. They cannot afford, as she says, to make mistakes. If we mess up, Zvaru says, if we mess up, okay, well, we end up as fakes. But, and that's it. But if Arcturians or some other race mess up, it may even lead to armed conflict and to war and to chaos and to confusion. And she's explaining that those other races that don't even look like humans, they are not ready to make this kind of contact and give proof to the humanity, that we even are not ready to meet with them, because the idea is for the most humanoid looking race to make the first approach and make first official contact with the humans. That's the Federation idea. So Tigetans have to go very slowly and very carefully and do this strategically and wisely. So this point makes a lot of sense. Next point. This is a very important point as well. Proof as given something from the outside, from the exterior, is an imposition of an external reality as a fact. They are very careful about never, ever, ever imposing anything. And imposing this kind of reality, extraterrestrial reality, as a hard fact, as undeniable truth, would be viewed, it is a sort of imposition upon your worldview and your reality and your perception of your reality. She says, we don't want to impose our external reality as an undeniable and irrefutable fact through proof. We want humans to reach that on their own. We can guide, but not in an invasive authoritarian way, not in such an invasive authoritarian way as giving proof. We can only offer, never impose. And with proof, it's no longer offering, it's a clear imposition of something that you yourself haven't reached yet. So it could be clashing, it could be too invasive to your reality. They want people to reach this conclusion on their own. They need to learn to add things up on their own, as she says. We must be responsible for our own conclusions and our own realities. They are tired of being mamas and papas from above or gods, telling people how things are. Yes, they are offering, as it is with this information, because all this information that I'm presenting in the channel is not really imposition. It is just offering you another angle to consider. It's something to expand your mind if you wish. But now if they come with the proof, this is exactly how it is, then you are left in that space. You can't debate anymore whether it is true for you or not true for you. You are faced with the undeniable fact, and it may clash too much. They want this reality to come from within. You yourself must be responsible for reaching certain conclusions and ideas about whether or not they are real. Next point, and it's connected with them wanting this truth to come out from the inside. This is very important, because if it doesn't come from the inside, if it comes as something imposed externally, then it will not have permanent effects. It will only be temporary. So imagine they leave for hundreds of years because they might have to attend to something else, and we might revert to old ways because this new perception, this new realization of things hasn't really emerged from within. So she's explaining here for the changes to last and to have a durable permanent effect, it must come from the inside. Next point is simply to do with the fact that we are not ready mentally yet. And I'm talking about the mass. The best example for this actually is someone in my direct environment, one of my friends, who I talked a little bit, just a very little bit, about what I do. And his reaction was basically, I'm not ready for this. Tell them to come back in 100 years. I don't want to know this. He's comfortable working at his place, having his simple life. He doesn't want complications at the moment. So that kind of proof, if they officially give this kind of proof, it could be destructive to people's realities too much. So they must be considering all these points very strategically and very wisely. Next point is somehow related to metaphysics of the 5D phenomenon, because it's not just about, you know, seeing the ship and, you know, seeing them coming off the ship and saying, hey, we are here, and then that's we interact with the extraterrestrial friends. They are going to come with a lot of very complex, very deep metaphysical concepts, and part of us coming together as races is mental preparation, metaphysical preparation. So they want us to first grasp certain metaphysical concepts. And what I do in my channel is part of that preparation. As she says here, you need to first understand an other kind of much more meaningful truth. Understand it. Lights in the sky are not proof enough. Not even me coming off a ship. The truth is what's in you and comes from what you yourself have learned, from what you have had the wisdom to be able to connect the dots. The girl, me, she's talking herself, off coming off the ship comes when it's time and when your mind is ready, because it will also come with all these metaphysical concepts. So now, if we don't approach them coming off the ship with this priorly learned knowledge and correct mentality and all these metaphysical concepts processed and assimilated, then, as she says, it's going to be difficult to proceed. You may even fall into skepticism. So it must be done step by step. Mental preparation is very important. Next point is also interesting. As Svaru explains, it's impossible to give a proof of something that is of 5D nature, because as soon as it is given, it becomes 3D. They're always complaining that many, many, many people and investigators are looking for the 3D answers, or looking with the 3D tools to understand something that is of 5D nature. To understand a 5D phenomenon, we must first raise our level and include more in our reality. Not look with the 3D tools that we have in our hands. So she's saying, if that proof that is of the phenomenon 5D becomes translated down and washed down to the 3D reality and given as a 3D proof, there will always be all kinds of justifications, explanations, and excuses, 3D explanations for that phenomenon. She's explaining that we are too left brain still. And she is giving here an example. I think I mentioned that maybe at some point. Of, imagine that you are in a car. You are in the car, in a Land Rover or something, and you go to visit an isolated African tribe. And you drive through that tribe, and the people approach you, and they are looking at your car, and they are just looking at everything. They are poking the wheels, and you're inside waving, and you want to communicate, and you want to explain where you're coming from and explain higher concepts of your reality, share, and then the tribe just keep poking the wheels, like they are not able to break through that level. So that's what's meant here. I think it's a very important point as well. Okay, and the next point is that the last point here on my list, even though there are many, many, many others for sure, is that, you know, they sometimes are quite worried about giving some kind of proof or showing themselves, because they really, really, really are just like us in so many aspects physically. So they are worried that by approaching us through a common frame of reference, and, you know, even like finding that common frame of reference in order to be able to communicate and to have a common ground, because of that, you know, that may turn against them, as they might in the end appear too normal and too terrestrial. So we may dismiss them as simply as fakes. You know, if I showed you a photograph of one of them, for example, you would dismiss it as something human. We had the audio with Kalel, with the Tigerton pilot, and even my reaction at first, I'm going to admit, after 2 years of talking with them, my first initial reaction for that, like the first 2 seconds, was like, oh wow, that's so human-like. Like, wow, it sounds like normal human. Oh yeah, even though I knew this already and I have been trained to understand this and I have been explaining this to people, even I had this first initial reaction. So imagine the people who have not gone through 2 years of training. It's just something it's on their mind. They are worried about that. And, you know, giving this kind of proof might open 10 more questions. It's like they're going to offer what they would hope is a solution and the answer, but that would open 10 more questions around that. instead of being a solution. So it's just going to go nowhere in the end. You know, they are very different in so many ways, especially metaphysically and technically. But physically, if you see them, they are quite familiar. You wouldn't notice any difference if you saw them somewhere walking down the street. Okay, maybe they would look like you know, a beautiful human being, interesting looking human being, definitely. But still a human being, you know. And here, as Kal-El even said once, you know, they are worried that if too much information on proof or information is given in such a way that it's too familiar, the value of it might decrease, and people even might fall into full skepticism. And you know, also Svaru mentioned this. This problem they are dealing with only basically in the last century. Svaru explained that before, in the other centuries, they didn't have this problem to such a degree. You know, the media has contributed a lot to us perceiving them as either, you know, very science fiction-like, so, wow, extraterrestrials, like, wow, you know, or, you know, as a green man with antennas. That's our perception. If you saw a green man with an antenna, you would believe that he's an extraterrestrial, but if you see a person looking like you, saying, I'm from Temer, you wouldn't believe that. As Aneka said, the most difficult extraterrestrial to believe that he is an extraterrestrial is the one that looks like you in the mirror. And it has been, you know, their struggle in a way. So these are the points of why there is no physical tangible proof at this point. So now, after I explained all these points, you might be wondering, how do we know that this contact is real? How did we reach this conclusion, and what makes us so sure? Because we are absolutely sure that this communication is real and they are who they say they are. So let me get through some points to share with you why we are so convinced that this is real. First point. You know, we have been with them for almost 2 years. In December, it's going to be 2 years. And in the last months, since more or less April, May, it has been almost daily for hours. So it's not something, you know, that we are doing fresh. It's not, we're not in the first week or in the first month to be able to, you know, have doubts of this kind. But I understand that if you are new to the channel, to this information on this type of contact through internet, or, you know, of course you're going to ask yourself, how do we know this is real? But yes, so we are with them for almost hours, almost every day. In the last 2 years, we counted with Robert yesterday, it's almost, I think, around 16 different Target and crew members with whom we have spoken. Some of them more, some of them less. And of course, our main contact right now has been Svaru, Aneka, and also Dor Kal-El. So, you know, if it was a hoax, it's just too elaborate to be a hoax. They would need a very, very, very dedicated team full of people with time and energy available almost 24 hours, because they come online any moment recently, at night or during the day. You know, they would need all kinds of computers. They would need a very advanced anti-hacker system, because of course they would need to assume that some of the people they write with, they would try to hack them, right? So they would need a very advanced software to protect themselves against that. Then you would need to synchronize all these people on the same subject and on the same details, because as we have discovered in the last 2 years, and that's why I'm saying it's important that it's 2 years and not the first month of the contact, we have discovered that whatever, you know, one person states, for example, in March, another person confirms in September. It's just they are all synchronized on all these different details. So that's just the simplest explanation. It's not that they are synchronized, but they are simply who they say they are. You know, it's the simplest explanation. There are never any mistakes, but this is going to be the next point, actually. So I will save that. Next point is that, you know, they have never ever asked anything for anything. They never asked for any money. They don't have the need for the money. They don't have the money. They never asked for anything in return. They never even asked us to share this information. So it's not like we were approached by some secret, mysterious group with some kind of secret agenda asking us, listen, guys, you're going to share this information. We have never been approached this way. We have started talking to them on a friend's basis. Svaru was sharing with us, you know, information about the reality, and we offered, hey, Svaru, we have YouTube channels, we why not share this? I felt like this was my responsibility, you know, in a way, to extend this to the people. It was too valuable to just keep it to myself. And in the beginning, they were not sure. They didn't want to. For the first 3 months or 4 months, we kept this to ourselves, actually. It was our secret. We didn't have the authorization to even reveal to the people we had talking to them. So who would be giving so much information? And you'll see, because this is nowhere near the end yet at all, you'll see that, you know, who would spend so much time, so much energy, contract so many people to pass us so much advanced information instead of just, I don't know, writing a book, making conferences on themselves, you know, themselves, and making money out of this? Why pass us so much information for free? Again, the simplest explanation is always the right one. They are who they say they are. Now, the next point is that after almost the second year of this communication, they keep producing the new and very advanced material. It's never ending. It's infinite. And the subjects go from, you know, cosmology, very deep cosmology, metaphysics, science, technology, biology, genetics, history. Anything you want, they are going to talk about it. So, you know, and after 2 years, the new material keeps coming out. And where do they get all this data? Where do they get it from if they are not who they say they are? Next point, very important point, which combines with the previous one, is that in those two years, we have observed that the information is just so coherent and cross-checked among all of them. As I said, almost, I think, around 16 of them. And, you know, whatever we learned, for example, in September 2018, matches and fits exactly with the detail that we received in May in 2019. It's just very coherent. Everything matches and everything fits just perfectly. There are no mistakes. If you think this could be some kind of a fraud, some kind of a deception going on here, at the end, eventually, they would slip on something and they would make a mistake and something would not fit with something they said before. But not only that it fits with everything they said before, but it can be cross-checked with other people, and you can tell they are other people. They have different personalities, they express themselves in a different way, different emotions. It's just very, very coherent. Now, some people might be saying, okay, what if this is some kind of a government plot, you know? Okay, it's not some kind of a kid sitting in the basement. It's too complex and elaborate for that. But what if, you know, it is a government plot? Okay, first of all, governments have better ways of doing these kinds of plots than, you know, passing information to two YouTubers. This is not on their level. This is not on their level. If they really want to make an impact and direct masses, they have much better ways than through a YouTube channel, which right now has, I don't know, 15,000 subscribers. And, you know, it doesn't really make any sense to be spending so much time every day for 2 years in order to pass some disinfo through a 15,000 subscribers channel. It just makes no sense. They have money. They have ways to invest better their resources than in a bunch of YouTubers. So I think that eliminates that possibility. Also, you have to take into account that the information is so varied and it branches off into so many different subjects. It doesn't go into one specific agenda. If it was a specific agenda, you know, to promote, they would focus on that more. But here, there is no specific direction this is going to. And actually, they adapt very freely and very easily into what we ask. They never impose anything. It's not like, okay, what do we now? Zvaru, no, I really want to talk about that. And again, in a month later, Zvaru comes back and says, yes, I really want to go to that subject. It never happened this way. Yes, she suggests topic, but it's never a very strong, you know, insisting on a specific direction. So I don't see any specific agenda going on here apart from a general empowerment of the people and giving the information on all kinds of on all fields, on all fronts, so that the reality can be expanded. The next point, why we believe truly it is real, is that when you talk to them, you can feel very, 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 very strongly that this is something given by someone who is truly living it. It's, you know, it's different when someone is describing, for example, something that they have read about, or a movie they have seen, or something they have heard or invented even. But it's different when you are talking to someone who has really lived a specific situation, or who has something in front of them. For example, if I asked you, can you describe, you know, your room, the room of your friend, you know, from what he told you his room is like. So you will miss a lot of details and you'll be doubting. But if you asked you, can you describe it right now, what you see in front of you, your room, you know, you'll be able to talk about the minute details, about, you know, the spots on the ceilings and all kinds of dirty places that are there in your room. You can tell the amount of detail and the amount of passion that goes into describing anything. And the answers are given spontaneously, immediately, fast. There's no doubting, and they are super profound and detailed. You know, if I can even ask, can you describe, what's the tail like of the panthers on Erra, no? And she's going to give you a full description about the tails of the panther. And if I asked, you know, what do you put into your soup, she's going to give you all the ingredients right away. And if I ask her, you know, tell me all types of screwdrivers that you use in order to construct something, she's going to go in that direction and immediately give you a detailed answer. And you can tell, you can feel that this is someone who is living it, and it's their reality. The next point is that throughout the years, throughout these two almost years, you know, we have established quite a deep, profound friendship with some of them. You know, we have witnessed them sad, we have witnessed them cry, we have witnessed them happy. We have, yes, because they have different emotions. Like we said, they are people. You know, we have gone through them through different phases of their life, in personal life stories. Because they have life stories, just like us. And you know, this also eliminates the possibility of them being artificial intelligence who is emotionless and calculated. Here we have gone through so much with them on a personal level. You know, this is something that we never share because it's not, you know, it's not a metaphysical, technological, or whatever teaching to the people. It's just personal life stories. So, you know, if this was some kind of hoax, they would have to invest so much time and effort and energy into inventing all these stories and keeping the line of the stories, you know, and it's just too elaborate. And not only that, what's really amazing that those stories are not even linear. That's really amazing because if I, you know, if you are coming with me on a journey on my life, I'm going to give you some, you know, events in a linear way. And here I will tell you, okay, listen, I met this guy and I'm dating. 2 months later, I'm telling you, yes, now we are boyfriend and girlfriend. But in the case of Zvaru and Dorka Alel especially, the story has so many multi-timeline components to it. And regardless of that added multi-level, multi-dimensional component, it's coherent. So they don't only need need to keep the coherence, of the stories in the linear way, but also keep it logical and have it, with some kind of sense on a multidimensional level. It's just quite fascinating. So as I said, it'll have to be a very, very, very dynamic hoax. Just makes no sense. And also, lastly, all the information that comes from them, well, not all of them, but most of it, is a sort of activation of my own knowledge, of my own information. I don't know if you feel the same. I know that I think some of you feel the same way with her information, but it's like it activates and generates some kind of memory in ourselves. Like it's something that we have known before and just forgotten. It's something we have lived before but have forgotten. So her information explains a lot of feelings that I had myself about different parts of the reality, and it just everything comes together and makes perfect sense. So, you know, as I said in the beginning, this is not our first month to be asking ourselves these kinds of questions. It's almost 2 years, and because of all the reasons that I gave you, we have come to the conclusion and quite fast that they say who they say they are. You know, the simplest answer sometimes and usually is the right one, is the correct one. There's no point here looking for all kinds of justifications and explanations, you know, especially because we know they are there already, right? The ETs, the extraterrestrial races, the stellars, we know they are there. It's not even, you know, debatable anymore for most of us. So if they are there, if the UFOs are there, someone is behind them, right? Someone is operating them. There is an actual presence behind those vehicles. So why not, take a step ahead and accept the possibility that they might actually be communicating with someone on Earth and passing the information to that person. I'm talking about myself in this case, but they are talking to many, many people on Earth, and they have since 2008. So this is the next step. This is the next step. Let's not just look at the UFOs in the sky, but let's look at the information. However, the last and final decision to decide whether this is real or not must come from you, as it was explained. I'm just offering certain knowledge and information for you to consider. But it's for you to make your investigations and analysis and reach your own conclusions. For me, I know this is real, and I'm very happy to be extending this experience toward you. So thank you so much.